And if you would turn one more time over to number 618, another one of these hymns in the national section, as we look to God for His mercy upon our land. Let's stand together as we sing 619. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Would please take your Bibles again and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We're going to read a brief comment on God's people during the Old Testament, beginning at verse 13. Hebrews 11, verse 13, and with reference to the very early patriarchs of the Old Testament, we read, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city." Let's bow in prayer. Our God, we thank you for this incredible gift of your word, that you have revealed your mind and your heart to us, your will for your people living in this world. We confess, our God, that far too often, unlike these patriarchs, we become too attached to the world in which we're living. We ask, our God, that you would guide us as your people, that our great heart would be to seek a heavenly city, a dwelling place with you for eternity. May that be what we desire every day, even as we continue living in this world. Please come and instruct us now from your word, and grant us much grace in order to live for you, our God, this coming week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This past week, I was reading an article that had gotten my attention on Facebook. It was about a church in the southern states and their Sunday service last week. They had called it Freedom Sunday. I think they had planned a series of events leading up to the American celebration of July the 4th. So here was a picture of Freedom Sunday at this very large church. I think there were thousands of people there. And it was quite a picture and quite a report of what the service was all about. There was this beautiful American bunting all across the front of the stage, so red, white, and blue. And there were singers with their mics all across the front of the stage. And in between these singers, they had fireworks going off. It was quite a spectacular display. And the people in the audience had been given American flags, and they were waving them back and forth as they all sang together, "This land is my land, this land is your land." And the title of the article was, "What were they worshiping at?" and the name of the church. Well, that's a good question. What were they worshiping? What were they doing on Freedom Sunday? Should we do that here this morning? We've just had the celebration of Canada's 150th birthday. No little event for a modern nation. Well, you can see here this morning, there's no nice red and white bunting across the front of the platform. And we probably wouldn't even know how to figure out how to do fireworks up here if we wanted to. And you haven't been given a Canadian flag. You were given maybe a bulletin when you walked in this morning. And we're certainly not singing, "This land is my land." But does that mean as Christians that we have nothing to say regarding this important landmark as a country? Is our Christianity and our Canadian citizenship mutually exclusive? Well, when we search our Bibles, we discover that God has a lot to say about our relationship to the world in which we live. We could summarize the scriptural teaching by saying that God has called his people to walk a tightrope as they're living in this world. On the one hand, we confess with the godly people of the Old Testament period that we are strangers and exiles in this world. We could easily sing the gospel song, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. This is not the place to put down our permanent roots. We know that we're just here for a little while. And the kingdom that is to be in our hearts and that we're to be seeking is a heavenly kingdom." On the other hand, the Bible clearly outlines for us that we're to have a relationship with the world in which we're living. Paul was not ashamed to call himself a Roman citizen. and even to play that trump card at the appropriate time. God calls us in His Word to obedience to the rulers that He has ordained to be over us, whether we like them or not. We are to honor the king and pay our taxes. Our involvement in the world that we live in is presumed all throughout the Scriptures, and we're given specific directives about how to work that out. And so there is this apparent paradox that we're to live with as God's people. We're citizens of a heavenly kingdom, and yet we're very much citizens of the worldly kingdom that we belong to. So, in light of these truths that we can glean out of the Word of God, what do we say about Canada at 150 years old? Should we be joining in the celebrations, or should we live as though it never happened? What's a Christian response? Well, three main things for us to think about this morning as we take up this question. First of all, we should be profoundly thankful for the privilege of living in Canada. We should be profoundly thankful for the privilege of living in Canada. Now, if you've been paying any attention to social media this past week, you know that there have been all kinds of articles and all kinds of videos about all of the good things that we enjoy in Canada. And the lists go on and on. They're different, but, you know, you hear about maple syrup and hockey and poutine and all of those things that are just typical of living in Canada. But this morning, we want to think of some more specific things that as Christians we can be thankful to God for relative to living in Canada. Now, very possibly, these things that I want us to think about this morning won't even be mentioned or thought about in many of the celebrations going on around our country this weekend. But I believe it's important for us to think about, why should we be profoundly thankful to God for the privilege of living in Canada? Well, for one thing, we want to thank God for a rich Christian heritage. We want to thank God for a rich Christian heritage. Now, this isn't a popular subject today. It's certainly not politically correct. Many would seek to deny any Christian foundational blocks in our pluralistic age. And yet, it is unquestionable that our country is one with a rich Christian heritage. And there are many very obvious proofs. For instance, travel anywhere in Canada, whether you go to a big city or a small little country village, what's the one building that you're almost always sure to see? You may not find a post office, but you'll find a church building. Now, why is that? It's because obviously in the past, there were many people who wanted to worship God and spread the gospel all throughout Canada, so that from sea to shining sea, there are these church buildings, and often in towns, more than one. Many of them very old. It's not unusual to see cornerstones with dates from the 1800s. It's a wonderful reminder that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ was preached from coast to coast in this land and foundational at the beginnings of our country. Now, obviously, with grief, we have to acknowledge that many of those buildings stand today empty or as monuments to apostasy. That once where the clear gospel of our Lord Jesus was preached, that gospel has been forgotten and a work salvation or some other message is being preached. Denials of the gospel are the current fashion. Nevertheless, In these buildings, in their presence, their names and their traditions, there is an enduring witness that this land has a rich Christian heritage. There's another very powerful testimony that this land was established on the truths of the gospel with a clear focus on God's word. Now, no doubt, the largest celebration of Canada's 150th has been in Ottawa, our nation's capital. And of course, the Parliament buildings themselves are iconic, representing our country and what we stand for. And if you can picture those Parliament buildings in your mind, you know that right in the middle is that tall Peace Tower. That Peace Tower speaks of a powerful Christian testimony. On the east, the south, and the west sides of the Peace Tower, there are arched windows. And over every one of those windows is inscribed in stone a verse from the Bible. Over the east window is this, from Psalm 72. He shall have dominion also from sea to shining sea. Our forebears, the founders of our country, were not afraid to confess the sovereignty of God in Canada. That's incredible. Over the south window, again from Psalm 72, give the king thy judgment, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. Here is a prayer asking that the leaders of our land might be given wisdom and instruction from God himself. And then finally, over the west window from Proverbs 29, where there is no vision, the people perish. And a clear acknowledgement that the Canadian leaders need to have a vision of the future that is grounded in the Word of God, and without that, we will self-destruct as a nation. What a powerful testimony. Right at the heart of Canada, that this is a land with a rich Christian heritage. Now, I doubt that these Bible verses have been referred to in many places this anniversary weekend. And yet, in the estimation of our leaders who helped establish this country, those were fundamental principles. Now, that does not mean that we're a Christian country, nor does it say that we would deny religious liberty or civil rights to anyone who would disagree with those biblical principles. Yet it does point to a powerful testimony that Canada has a rich Christian heritage that cannot be denied without rewriting history. And as we think of the blessings that Canada has known over these 150 years and more, certainly we have to say with the psalmist in Psalm 89, blessed are the people who know the festal shout or the joyful sound, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face. And Psalm 144, blessed are the people to whom such blessings fall. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. And we can look back in our history as a nation. When church buildings were scattered across our country and people were coming and filling them in order to worship God and hear the truths of the gospel. That's why Canada has been so richly blessed for these many years. A second reason why we should be profoundly thankful for the privilege of living in Canada. We want to thank God for the freedom that we have to worship God and spread the gospel. Now, we may be reminded of this truth once in a while, but I think for the most part, we usually forget the incredible freedom that we have every Lord's Day to be able to gather in this place, to worship God according to the Scriptures, and to spread the gospel. That has often not been the way down through the centuries for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Many Christians have been put to death trying to do the things that we take for granted. They have been fed to lions. They have been tortured. They have been burnt at the stake. Their heads have been chopped off because they wanted to worship God and give to our God the glory due His name. Now, our modern historians so easily forget this, that one of the crucial motivators in the settling of North America by immigrants from Great Britain and Europe was they wanted freedom to worship God according to the Bible. They were seeking a land where they could open the Bible and do what God wanted them to do and not have to worship according to the dictates of the king or any other government official. That is one of the factors behind the rich Christian heritage of our country. It's one of the reasons why we have so many Christian buildings in almost every town and hamlet, even out in the countryside. Because this land was flooded with people who wanted to worship God in freedom. And this freedom that we know today and enjoy is an answer to many of their prayers. We read this morning briefly from 1 Timothy chapter 2. I think probably the pioneers and the founders of this country took that passage and they lived it out in their lives. They prayed for freedom. They prayed for peace, that the gospel might spread in this new country that they had come to. And here we are, and we're enjoying the benefits of all of those prayers today. Now, this blessing that we experience is something of a double-edged sword. It does provide a wonderful freedom for God's people to be able to gather as we do and worship God and spread the gospel. But it also makes it easy for people to profess to be Christians. For such people, the most difficult decision they have to make on a Sunday morning is whether to get out of bed and go to church or not. That can promote a spiritual laziness and deadness that is to be seen all throughout our land. But when people have to count the cost, when they have to ask themselves honestly, if I go to church today, am I willing to be arrested and put in prison for the rest of my life? If I go to church today, am I willing to be burnt at the stake or fed to lions? That makes people stop in their tracks and say, what do I really want to do? What's more important than anything else? Am I just along for the ride? Or do I truly love God and am I willing to sacrifice my life for His cause? How we need to remember to thank God for the freedoms that we enjoy, but not to abuse them and not to allow them to lull us into spiritual sleepiness. A third thing we need to think about, we want to thank God for the abundance of physical goods. Now, it doesn't matter who you are in Canada today. By the standards of our global community, we are all very, very rich. We've come this morning from our comfortable, air-conditioned homes. We've ridden in our comfortable cars. Our homes will go back to the fridges and pantries are stocked with all kinds of good things. We're wearing good clothes. We've benefited from this beautiful place of worship. We take our trips. We enjoy our technology. We bask in an abundance of good things. And it all comes from the hand of God. It's all God's good gift to us. That very note was part of Paul's gospel message. When he spoke to the Athenians in Acts 17, he said, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." What do you have from God? You have life and breath and everything. Everything that is yours is a gift to you from God. Now that is obviously being ignored today. We're living in an increasingly thankless society. Christians gathered together for their celebrations yesterday, but how many acknowledge their maker and sustainer, and that all of the gifts we enjoy here in Canada are from the hand of our God? Let us not fall into that trap. Let us not take things for granted. Let us be a very thankful people, thankful to our God for all of his blessings in our lives. Well, we could go on and on, but there are three very important things that we ought to be thankful for as we live here in Canada. Our rich Christian heritage, the freedom we have to gather for worship and spread the gospel, and the abundance of physical things that we enjoy. Secondly, as we think about how we are to respond to what has just happened in Canada, secondly, we should be profoundly grieved by the sins that are becoming more and more common in Canada. We should be profoundly grieved by the sins that are becoming more and more common in Canada. We are living in a very deceptive age. From the perspective of the world, Canada seems to be riding on a wave of prosperity. For the most part, we have peace within our borders, some terrorism, but relatively little. Our economy is doing very well. The stock market has been soaring. There are good indications that our dollar is picking up steam again. Prosperity seems to be all around us. Even here in the Windsor area, the real estate market is enjoying a boom that it hasn't had for years. Everything seems to be indicating a Canadian lifestyle that is only getting better and better. But this is a deceptive time. For the peace and prosperity that is all around us is hiding the reality that we are in big trouble. We are in big trouble with God. Back in the first century, when conditions in the Roman Empire were similar to our day, and prosperity everywhere was everywhere, and the benefits of the Roman Empire were being enjoyed by so many people, the Apostle Paul made this famous statement to the church in Rome. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." The Roman Empire, for all its peace and prosperity, was rife with sin. People were refusing the knowledge of God. They were failing to thank God and honor him for the blessings that they were experiencing. And they were purposefully refusing the demands of his law. And so even in that very day, the first century, when Paul was writing, God's anger was already being poured out upon the Roman world. It did not begin with war or the failure of their economy. God's wrath was manifested then in a giving over of men to their immoral choices. the escalation and explosion of sin in a society is an indicator that God is withdrawing His Spirit, giving men up to their favorite sins, and marking that society out for future judgment. Now, the end did not come immediately for Rome. It would take another couple hundred years before that society would self-destruct under the judgment of God. Now, there are signs all around us that the same thing is happening in Canada today. What are those signs? Well, we have an abortion industry that aims its killing work at the heart of God's creative purpose. What have we seen recently in the book of Genesis? That command to have children and to fill the earth. And despite the rage of modern sociologists, there's plenty of land in Canada still to be filled up. And what does the abortion industry do? It goes into the wombs of Canadian women, Canadian mothers, and slaughters little babies. And as was shown on Facebook recently in a video that got spread around, there's no law in Canada to protect any unborn child from the day of conception until the day when it's born. No law to protect any unborn child. Now, we don't see it. It's being done secretly behind closed doors. But if we could look into the bins and the holding containers and see little baby parts that have been ripped asunder, and the blood of these children, and we think that God is going to sit in heaven and overlook that and not pour out His wrath upon a land that is just letting it happen. We're living in a land that is promoting perverse marital relationships that deny God's exclusive plan for one man and one woman. It's all around us. It's just common. I don't have to give you evidence. I don't have to give you proof. You know, it's all here filling our land. Again, if you were on Facebook or social media or watching the news, you saw our Prime Minister in the Gay Pride Parade with his family, with his children, raising the perverted Canadian flag. Still the red maple leaf in the middle, but the side bars with the gay rainbow logo. You know how our premier has pushed that same kind of plan. Filling our schools, teaching our children from the youngest age that this kind of human relationship, this kind of marital relationship is okay. We have what's newer for Canada, the growing euthanasia movement that denies God's unique right to determine when we die. And so more and more we're hearing about this, of people for one reason or another determining they want to end their lives and the help that they're getting from the medical community to do that very thing. Brethren, these are no little sins that are corrupting our country. They're the very sins that brought the flood in Noah's day. They are the very sins that brought fire and brimstone down from God upon Sodom and Gomorrah. These are the sins that caused Rome to rot from the inside out. And they are the sins that will bring a devastating end to Canada as we know it, unless there is repentance and a turning to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our God will not be mocked. His word is always true. The familiar words of Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And brethren, our land is marked by sinful reproach almost everywhere you look. And so we need to be profoundly thankful for the privilege of living in this country, but we need to be profoundly grieved at the sins that are becoming more and more prominent in our land. Thirdly, what is Canada's greatest need? What is Canada's greatest need? Without a doubt, Canada's greatest need is a spiritual revival and biblical reformation. We need to see God pour out His Spirit upon this needy land, stirring up the hearts of His people to greater love and devotion to Jesus Christ, and bringing many lost sinners through the gospel to repent of their sins and bow the knee to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That, without any doubt, is the great need of our land. And that is only something that God can do in His sovereign grace. Revival is not something that we can bring. Revival is not something that we can stir up. Revival is not something that we can plan. It is solely a work of God as He looks down upon a land, pities a land, and pours out His Spirit upon that land. But we also need to be doing the work of biblical reformation. That is something that we can do. Taking God's word and examining our lives and examining our churches. Where have we fallen short? Where do we need to change? Where has our love grown cold? How has we failed to live as a church of Jesus Christ the way we're supposed to live according to the Scripture? If we recognize that this is Canada's greatest need, what should we do? Well, lots of people this weekend, in their joy at Canada's 150th, have celebrated with parties, set off fireworks, sung the national anthem, participated in community celebrations. But if you really love Canada as a Christian, what should you be willing to do? Well, first of all, you should be eager to pray for Canada. You should be eager to pray for Canada. It's easy for us to sit back and list all of the benefits and the blessings that we enjoy. It's easy for us as God's people to see the sins that are rampant in our land and growing. But how much work are we prepared to pour into prayer for Canada? How much are we willing to take up the exhortation of Paul in 1 Timothy 2 and pray for our leaders, pray for our land, that there might be a turning back to God? I think in reality, dear people, we've often spent more time with fireworks than we've spent time praying that God would bring a revival and reformation to our land. But that's the means that God has given to us. And as we look in the Word of God, we acknowledge that often as His people use those means, that God is pleased to hear and come and do a work in the land where His people are praying. One of the hymns that we love to sing from our blue hymn books, we won't turn there, but number 271, Isaac Watts' famous hymn, speaking about the church being a great gospel feast. And you know one of those verses, we long to see your churches full. Now if you look up in the left corner beside Isaac Watts' name, you see that was written in 1707. Often we overlook those little details, but in 1707, England was a barren place spiritually. Oh, here and there, little pockets of good were to be found, but for the most part, England was a place where hypocrisy ruled. Still, there was lots of external religion, but it was just a show. Alcoholism had taken over. Immorality was abounding. There was little true Christianity. But there were people like Isaac Watts and others with him, and they were praying. And they were saying, Lord, we long to see your churches full. We long to see all kinds of people converted. We want to see them coming in and the kingdom of God grow. 1707, 1717, 1727, 1737, within 3 decades, revival had come to England and the churches were packed. Often during the days of the evangelical awakening, so many people came to hear the gospel preached that they stood outside the windows and were willing to listen. Thousands of people outside. They were so hungry for the worship of God. What was God doing? He was answering the prayers of his people. We long to see your churches full. If you really love Canada, and you're thankful to God for the blessings that we know here, but you're grieved to see what is happening in this country, and you know the words of Scripture. Not for the wrath of God will be revealed, but the wrath of God is being revealed now. And you tremble for what may happen here in Canada. Then you're going to be willing to pray like Isaac Watts and say, Lord, we desperately need a revival. And a biblical reformation that takes us back to the gospel, that takes us back to your truth in the Word of God. As we grieve over what has happened in Canada, I think it's very noteworthy to recognize that for the most part, throughout Canada, in all of these churches, little church buildings, big church buildings, for the most part today, prayer meetings have been canceled. Is it any wonder why we're in the mess that we're in? When God's people aren't willing to sacrifice and gather together and pray and call on the name of the Lord for the blessing that we so need. If you really love Canada, you should be willing to pray. Secondly, you should be ready to pour your life into the Church of Christ. I mentioned already those words of the Lord Jesus. You are the salt of the earth. And he used that expression there in terms of preserving the earth and keeping it from going into more and more decay. You are the salt of the earth. God's people, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the salt of the earth. We are intended by God to be the means to keep this world from going to utter rottenness. Is it any wonder why Canada for years was a place of blessing and goodness? You know, I can remember my mom telling me that years ago they used to call Toronto, Toronto the Good. My grandmother tells the story that one day back in Toronto when she was young, a lady got arrested coming off a streetcar because her ankle was showing. Toronto is anything but that today. Not just Toronto, but all across this land. There's wickedness everywhere. Well, if the church is to be the salt of the earth, could it be that the salt has lost its savor? That it's lost its ability to have an impact on society? And that instead of impacting Canada, Canada is impacting us, and we're becoming more and more like the world and not more and more holy and devoted to our Lord Jesus. If you love Canada, you should be ready to pour your life into the Church of Christ, recognizing that it's the church, as blessed by God, that is the hope for any nation. And then thirdly and finally, if you really love Canada, you should be eager to witness for Jesus Christ. You should be eager to witness for Jesus Christ. What's Canada's problem, like every other nation in the world? It's not hard to figure out. You don't have to have all kinds of different descriptive terms. You don't have to be a sociologist having studied at university. All you need is a Bible that teaches you Canada's problem, along with every other nation, is sin. Three little letters, sin. It's the fact that we've all gone our own way. We've gone astray from God. We've blanked God out of our minds and our souls. We've said to God, we're going to go our own way. We're going to do our own thing. We're going to ignore your word. We're going to ignore your law. We're going to live for ourselves. We're going to be selfish. We're going to take all of these benefits and enjoy them, but not think about you or thank you. That's the problem. It's sin. And because the wages of sin is death, and that comes to us as individuals, and it comes to people corporately, people die and go to hell. Canadians die and go to hell. And our land just goes on in degeneration. It's a slippery slope that's moving faster and faster. And you and I, we've got the answer. We know the gospel. We have the good news. We know that God looked down upon this world and he saw it, a world filled with sinners. And in his justice and holiness, he could have just swept us all into hell. But God so loved the world, even that world full of sinners, that he sent his only Son. He sent his Son to die on the cross. We know the story of Jesus, how our Savior allowed wicked men to take him and nail him to that cross. Because that was the plan of God. There needed to be someone to pay the penalty for our sin. There needed to be a substitute who would take the sinner's place. And so Jesus allowed wicked men to nail him to the cross, and he died there under the wrath of God that we deserve. He was buried in the tomb. Rose on the third day to prove that God's plan had worked, that sin had been defeated, death had been defeated, hell had been defeated, and that everyone who comes to him now can be saved. That's the gospel. That's the good news that Canada needs. That's the message that can turn our country away from this headlong dive, as it were, into hell. that it might be a place where from sea to shining sea, the gospel is preached again. And there are groups of God's people here, there, and everywhere who love Jesus Christ and whose purpose is not to live for themselves or to enjoy all of the blessings of this country, but to live for God and to live for Jesus Christ. Because while they're thankful to be here, they really want to get to that heavenly city and they want to dwell with God forever. That's the good news. That's the message that Canada needs. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you don't know the good news for yourself. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you've heard his story, but you've never recognized your own sinfulness and come to him for salvation. I urge you to do that today. Come to the Lord Jesus. Just ask him to save you. He's so willing to receive anyone who comes to him. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do bow before you and would seek to be very, very thankful for the privilege that you have given to us to be able to live in this country. Thank you, our God, for the rich spiritual heritage that we have enjoyed. Many of us have been converted as a result of that. Thank you for the freedoms we experience every Lord's Day as we gather together, and even at work or in the community as we have opportunities to share the gospel. We know this incredible freedom. Thank you for the blessings that you've loaded our homes and our families and our individual lives with. May we not fail to have your perspective on what's going on here in Canada. The sin that abounds, the wrath that is already being poured out. Oh, our God, if we're truly concerned about our land, may we be ready to pray. May we be ready to work sacrificially in the Church of Christ. May we be willing to share the gospel with people all around us who are blind to their true spiritual condition. Please, our God, have mercy upon Canada. Come and work in ways that will bring glory and honor to your name. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.